Welcome to the Speak and Get What You Want podcast, where you learn to communicate like the world's most successful leaders. Now, here are your hosts, TK Stratton and Chad Kirby.
How do you build an exceptionally successful company in one of the most difficult markets? That's what we're going to be talking about today on the Speak and Get What You Want podcast with the great Sean Greeley. Sean, great to be with you today.
Awesome, Chad. Great to see you as always.
You know, it's interesting, Sean. You've been exceptionally successful as an entrepreneur and a leader in your space. And as people may not know this about you, you didn't choose the easiest path. You know, there's a lot of people that are out working with different professionals, but you chose the fitness industry. And the fitness industry, although it's a big industry, it presents some incredible challenges. And so first, let me ask you, what got you to gravitate towards the fitness industry, even though there seems to be quite a few obstacles in being successful in that industry?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's obstacles in every industry, but for sure, you know, for me, my background is what led me here. So I was an athlete, did a lot of sports growing up. I competed in professional wakeboarding for a number of years. And then during that time, I got certified as a personal trainer, started working with clients on fitness. Loved that, seeing the impact I made. I finished my sports career. My parents said, maybe you should go get a real job, be on this coaching thing. And if you don't know what you do, go back to graduate school. I signed up for an MBA program, and I thought, you know, I went to the first day of orientation and I saw a professor who had never run a business, and I saw classmates who wanted to push out student loans a few more years and party and not study and build something. And I left. I said, this is not for me. I come from a family of entrepreneurship. I saw my dad build a large commercial real estate company. I watched my grandfathers do things in the military and business, and I wanted to go start my own business. So I followed my passion, health and fitness. I started my own company. I grew it for myself to two locations, 10 personal trainers serving 653 clients in Central Florida. And then I had a big life scare. I got diagnosed with stage 4 melanoma cancer. Didn't know if I'd be dead in a year. I had to ask myself a big question of, if I'm going to be dead in a year, what do I want to do with the rest of my life? Which is a great question for everybody to ask themselves in life.
Right.
And the answer that came to me out of the process was, I just wanted to help as many people as I could. And I had a lot of friends that were coaches and small business owners and studio owners. And I had no vision to start a business. I just started helping my friends solve some problems and the things I had learned and figured out and systems in my business. And I sold my facilities, so focused on my health, helped my friends solve problems. I saw their businesses transform from like doing 2,000-4,000 a month to doing 20,000-40,000 a month within a few months' time, which then created a whole new set of challenges. Because as you know, 3, 5, 10x a business in short order creates new problems you got to go solve. And so I was really inspired by that work, and that led to officially forming our company NP in July of 2006. And that's been the last 18 and a half years of supporting and growing fitness businesses around the world. We've helped now over 53,000 fitness businesses grow from, you know, startup to 6, 7, 8 figures in 96 countries. So it's been a lot of journey and fun and learnings and, you know, a lot of risk and failure and reward and learning and development and all the things that you go through in entrepreneurship along that way.
Okay, well, that's crazy. What a story, Sean. And you sit back, and as you're sharing that story, I'm thinking to myself, okay, you had this passion for health and fitness, but I'm sure there were people that were telling you, Sean, you can't do this. You can't make money doing this. Sean, how are you going to be successful? Yeah. How did you manage that? How did you manage all the naysayers and go on and experience the level of success that you experienced?
Yeah, great question. I think a few things. Again, I come from a family of entrepreneurship. That means I was raised in a home where we do hard things and we go make things happen, right? That was the programming I got from a young age. And I had great examples of that with my dad. I had great examples of that with my grandparents. And those really inspired me to go make things happen. So I never thought about, I need to go get a job. I just thought, I want to create something. Let's go build, right? And so that's kind of my, you know, in my DNA and upbringing, if you will. And then I follow my passion, you know, and so I follow my passion on sports and health and fitness that led me to this field of coaching and supporting other people in solving a big problem, health and fitness, right? And as I saw fulfillment in that work of helping people, as a business owner working with consumers, and then, you know, elevating that to helping other businesses help their consumers was a natural extension. But there was no blueprint for me to go, you know, when I started just myself as a solopreneur coaching clients, or myself as a brick and mortar facility owner, or multi brick facility brick and mortar, there was no blueprint. I was grabbing pieces from here and there, learning things about marketing or sales or management, and figuring that out myself. You know, I'm someone, again, like many entrepreneurs, I wake up and I'm fulfilled when I have a problem to solve and I'm on a mission to go get things done. So I love the journey of taking risk, failing, learning, optimizing, growing, scaling. And so I did that me with clients. I did me with that in a team and clients. I did me that in a team and clients across multiple locations. And then scaling that into me helping other businesses do that with their clients. And then scaling that into, you know, international markets, and today, you know, tens of thousands of businesses in 96 countries.
That's fantastic. And Sean, you said something there that you love the journey.
Yeah.
How do you embrace the journey when the journey as an entrepreneur, as a business leader, as someone who's out in the forefront, trailblazing, you know, you come across a lot of challenges, difficulties, and struggles. Yeah. So how do you find joy in that journey?
Yeah, I mean, I'm, you know, like a lot of entrepreneurs, like I can't sit around and like twiddle my thumbs. Like if I don't have a big goal, a big challenge, I'm not enjoying things and I'm not fulfilled. So, you know, for me, that's come in different ways. It's come, you know, an achievement has always been a big thing for me. And sports as an athlete and academics in school, as a business owner, and then really helping my clients scale their businesses. So, you know, I love finding a problem, identifying solutions, you know, and then executing that, optimizing that, and then, you know, coming back for more. You know, I mean, like many people you talk to, I mean, entrepreneurs, they're not happy when things are simple. They're happy when they're you know, attacking the next thing. You know, when you finish one thing, you want to get back to the next thing, you know? I mean, what are you going to do? I can't go play golf. I can't just go sit around and read a book. Like, you know, I find balance to enjoy myself, but what I really enjoy is time to go do the things that I want to do and solving big problems and achieving big goals and making an impact in the world. And certainly we want to do that within constraints of looking after our health and well-being and our relationships and all those things that have to be,
sure,
you know, sustainable for doing this thing. But yeah, you know, I like to go solve something, do something that hasn't been done before and figure it out.
So Sean, you're working with all these business leaders who want to grow and scale their business. Do you find that most of them are setting big enough goals for them, or do you have to push them to think bigger than they perhaps thought before?
I think, you know, we all, it's time, you know, seasons on the journey, right? I think we all have one vision of success until our eyes are open up to a bigger vision and opportunity for success. You know, I can point to all kinds of points of where, you know, maybe someone initially, you know, says, I know I need to get some more clients and make some more money. And they kind of go down that rabbit hole and say, whoa, but here's now a community that's doing things, you know, and people ahead of where I am, and what it looks like to go from one location to three locations to 10 locations to 30 locations to 100 locations to 1,000 locations, right? There's just levels of the game. And so when you get exposed to, you know, new rooms where you're not the smartest person in the room, and if you're someone who's driven, inspired, and wants to learn and grow and you enjoy the journey, then you're just looking for where to go plug in and get more of that, right? So generally speaking, you know, people are coming to us, we're just opening their eyes to the opportunity, and then they get it and they want to go. So, you know, I'm not here to convince anyone to do anything they don't want to do. Here to create drive. All motivation is self-motivation. You got to want to do something, and you got to want to go to the gym. You got to want to do hard things. You got to want to make things better. You got to want to work on challenges. And then, you know, we can direct you and support you, but, you know, my job isn't to create demand. My job is to channel and lead demand and motivation to go, you know, solve problems and make things happen.
That's a great, great comment. You're not there to create demand. You're there to channel it and give them direction.
Yes.
Where have you gone to get that direction, Sean? Because obviously you had the drive. You wanted to go be successful. So what really helped you along your journey?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the, you know, early days of my story was, you know, as many, I mean, we met ultimately, some our backgrounds connected through the, before it was Keep, was Infusionsoft community, and before that was really, you know, Mortgage Pro CRM was the origination of that, right? And this was all connected to the Glazer Kennedy GKIC circle, right, back in the day, right? So I, you know, remember being inspired by, you know, Dan Kennedy, seeing a, you know, Dan K newsletter, signing up for an info summit. And I think 2006, I went to a Dan Kennedy info summit. I saw Bill Glazer do the A to Z Blueprints Day. I saw, you know, the info summit. I saw Infusionsoft on the stage. It was like $5,000 at the time. I didn't have $5,000. But I saw how to take now what I had, which was knowledge, like, and how to package it up into a product that you could sell and systems to market and scale that. And I ate all that up, right? So I left the GKC Info Summit in November 2006. I launched a continuity program, had 100 people sign up for $100 a month. Now I had a 10,000 a month recurring revenue, like, base to start with, and it made sense. I'm selling this thing, I deliver this thing when I sell it, I sell more people into this thing, it scales, right? So that kind of led to a foundation. And then I went and learned everything about Infusionsoft. And then I, you know, then you start to grow your network. And then, you know, certainly Dan Kennedy, Bill Glazer were early mentors. I was a private client of Dan Kennedy's for a number of years. He's, you know, was a great mentor. Paid for, you know, paid for some Dan jet flights, you know, back in the day. And as you do, and, you know, six-figure consultants that you hire and work with, that you learn some great things from, and grew a great network of, you know, really top leaders in the field in different spaces and areas, and continue to have a great network today that, you know, a short list of people that, you know, that I learn, that I grow with, that I, you know, I go ask for thoughts on problems I'm solving, my team is working on, and continue to help, you know, shine a light on the opportunities to learn, grow, and evolve and create breakthroughs.
And you bring up such a great point there, Sean, because the seeking out mentors, right, and seeking out people that can really help lead and guide you has been a huge contributor to your success, yeah. You know, and I was thinking about, you know, the great John Wood and the great basketball coach for UCLA for so many years, when asked how many people went to him for advice, right? One of the most, or the most winningest coach in all of sport, how many have come to him and asked for his advice? And he said, I think like one individual. And so people really don't seek out mentors like they should. So what was it within you that made you so different, Sean? Because you're seeking out mentors when most people just won't do it.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I don't know, this is the, you know, where I'm not my customer necessarily, or, you know, I'm not like other people, but to me, it seems pretty simple. You know, you have a goal you want to achieve, you identify the problem to solve, you go find a solution, you go find out who's doing it, and you pay them what they ask for, and you get their time and you get the expertise, and then you go do it, and you apply what works and iterate what doesn't and drop what it doesn't add value. And then you know, you got the thing, you level up the skill, level up the system, you level the network, and then you go to the next, and you just rinse and repeat. And there's levels to this game. You just keep playing the game. I mean, that's the game. So, you know, I don't know, if you're not doing that, you're not playing the game. I don't know what you're doing.
Oh, exactly. And so the association, or the people you associate closely with, really do determine your future. 100%. And where you're going to be.
100%.
Because you have to simply choose those friends wisely.
Yeah.
I mean, if you know, Sean, you've obviously had a huge impact on me as I watched you. I think the first time we did meet was at one of those Kennedy experiences. Yeah. But you've always been super driven to learn more. You've never gotten to the point where you feel like, okay, I've learned enough, I'm just going to go ahead and hang out here for a moment. And so that drive towards success has really been connected with your drive to always want to learn.
Yeah.
And so what would you say to someone who is maybe new in leadership, new in entrepreneurship, and helping them understand the importance of that constant learning? Because you dropped out of college, you didn't want the MBA program, but yet you have this deep desire to learn.
Yeah, well, I dropped out of graduate school. I did get an undergraduate degree, but you know, I spent a lot more on my education than I would have in a, you know, in an MBA program through now leading consultants, experts that, you know, was 100x the value of what I'd get in a standard, you know, MBA program. So, I mean, I think if you have the drive to want to learn and grow, you got to go, you know, your professional learning development plan is your responsibility. It's no one else's. No one's going to, don't wait for someone to come tell you what to do. You know, get clear on what you want to do and go find people who are doing it and ask them what to do and invest money. You know, the worst advice is bad advice, you know, and free advice. So generally you're going to pay for good advice and pay for good advice with the right people. Because that's the quality of the information you're going to get. And then you go, you know, learn and deploy that. So, you know, I think, you know, just continue to make those investments. You know, if you just think, if you make investments in your professional education development, you know, daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, annually, I mean, how long is it going to take you before you stack those wins up and you start to get some breakthroughs? You know, I mean, not long, right? So, like most things in life, people aren't intentional. They're haphazard. You know, it's just like going to the gym. If I go to the gym once a year for a week or two, you know, nothing's going to change. If I go to the gym consistently a few times a week for the next decade, it's amazing what magic happens, right? Like it's work in, work out and being consistent.
I love that. I love that. Now, Sean, when you've played big and you've always been willing to take risks and play big, what's perhaps a mistake that you made that really helped you grow and develop?
Yeah. You learn more from mistakes than you do from wins. You know, that's the part that, you know, if you take the time to really embrace the learning, right? That's the good stuff. So I think, you know, when you're winning, and I've had, you know, multi-year runs where it's just hockey stick growth. And I'd say the first, you know, 10, 11 years of my career were just hockey stick growth in many respects. And you don't learn as much when everything you do works and you're winning all the time. It gives you a really false sense of, you know, everything and you've got it all figured out, which, you know, just wait to get punched in the face, because you will. And I think, you know, when things go wrong, that's when you get to really learn. So some of the things that have been really painful for me, learnings, have been, you know, always it's the people that you let into your circle, and then, you know, people that can really damage your company, your brand, your personal life, right? Like the biggest threat is if you've got yourself squared away, but is being able to filter other people. You know, I had a significant embezzlement in my company. Someone that came in, stole a bunch of money to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars, fled the country. You know, the FBI won't do anything, you know, and you're not hiring Dog the Bounty Hunter, you know, to really go get them in foreign land and recoup. So that kind of stuff's pretty painful and takes a while to recover. Other things is like especially when you're younger and successful, you know, and you're scaling up, you don't realize that as you grow, you know, it's a different team and different leaders that need to lead a company at 1 million versus 3 million versus 10 million versus, you know, 30 million, right? So you're not leveling up the leadership team around you, and you're not even aware how you need to make those adjustments. So you can get yourself in trouble again with not the right people on, you know, at the next stage of growth and ahead of, have done the run from here to the next stage in your space, right? So, and not having people that are too far ahead. So like somebody who's grown a company from 10 to 30 million is not gonna understand the run from 1 million to 3 million very well, because they haven't done it. They're used to a full team built out, leadership team, redundancy, all this. They're not like the hot, like you still gotta hustle in 1 to 3 million. They're used to like, there's a big org and there's 50 people and 100 people over here and somebody will figure that out, right? So there's some of like hires at the wrong hires for those kind of pieces have been painful. I think also model, like efficiency, like whatever gets stuck is you grow, and you look back and there's technical debt in the business, in the systems, in the model, in the efficiencies. And especially if you're growth minded, which most entrepreneurs are growth minded, that's how you grow, is you gotta be growth minded. You don't realize you wake up one day and you're walking in mud of technical debt in your company, in your org, and some of your leaders, and some of your systems, and that eats at your margin. It's operational drag in the machine, and you know that stuff really slows you down. So you have to kind of screw that stuff up before you know how to see it and get in front of it and clean up the mess. And, you know, look, everybody's going to have some things that go wrong, you know, and it's only a matter of time. And that's when you get to find out who you are and where you just really grow. It's like, once you go through some pretty hard challenges and get to rework things and figure those things out, you know, that's how you develop real muscle and strength. It's not defined by your wins. It's defined by your ability to overcome obstacles and setbacks and getting punched in the face and come out the other side stronger at the end of that trial. So, you know, those are, while they're painful in the moment, you know, I operate from the mindset and frame that, you know, all things for good. It's ultimately, you know, going to lead you to a better place. Might take a year, might take three, might take 5 or 10 to, you know, fix all those things and address those things and you to have the awareness and understanding. But if you keep just coming back, you know, and keep learning, growing, you can only fail if you quit. That's the game. Mm.
Right. And that not being afraid to fail has really fueled you. I mean, go back to your wakeboarding days when you were, you went and took on, I mean, you literally moved to Florida so you could wakeboard more.
Yeah.
And there, I don't think there's any alligator free water in Florida. So you're out there wakeboarding with alligators with no fear of failure.
Yeah. I think, you know, we do like personality assessments and profiles and that kind of stuff. I'm extreme in my, you know, in my independence, and I'm also extreme in my ability to not care what anyone else thinks. Like I don't do things for other people. I do things, you know, for things that are important and meaningful to me. So, you know, I think that my personality profile helps with, you know, being effective and risk taking, and you know, I don't really care what other people say or think. I'm there to achieve a goal, regardless of, you know, other people's feelings or opinions or thoughts.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. No fear of failure. You know, and TK, the co-host of this podcast, will often say, what would you do if you had no fear? What would you do today if you had no fear? Right? And you just would go and approach anybody, talk to anybody, do whatever you had to do to get to where you need to be. Yeah. Right? Because those fears, those things where you feel you come up short, those really stopping you from getting you to where you need to be. And I want to finish with this last discussion point real quick, Sean. I've heard you say this before, and I think it's really important for everyone listening to hear what you're saying here, because when it comes to being afraid to fail, we all have a bunch of excuses that we'll say, oh, I can't do that because of this. I can't do that because of this. But when it comes to sales and being successful in getting out there, communicating and talking to people, those who are the most successful people would say are extroverts. So a lot of people sit back and say, well, I can't do this because I'm more introverted. And Sean, I've heard you say this before, that the most successful people when it comes to sales and even talking to people aren't those extroverts.
Yeah, not at all. No, as someone who has trained tens of thousands of people in sales, very successfully in high ticket services, the best salespeople always are the introverts, because it means they'll listen more than they'll talk. And that's the most important skill in sales. It's way more about listening than it is about talking. You know, in any sales interaction, your client should be doing 80% of the talking, you should be doing 20% of the talking. If you got that right, you're doing it right. If it's flipped, you're doing all the talking, they're barely getting a word in, that's a terrible salesperson. So introverts are willing to listen, they're willing to ask questions and just absorb and listen and direct and lead and understand and be empathetic, you know, makes great talent. So I love training introverts because then once they get a few wins, they develop the confidence, but they're not egotistical because they're still humble people and they're not, you know, concerned about getting a lot of attention that needs to feed their, you know, their insecurity ultimately is what's behind a lot of the extroverts. So the introverts are quietly, quietly fulfilled, and they just learn skills and develop confidence to be effective, right? And that's really, you got to be smart, you got to be hungry, and you got to be humble to be an effective salesperson. And those introverts bring a lot of that to the table to set them up for great success.
And I share that, Sean, because so many people, as we are all striving to be successful, as we're striving to live bigger, as we're trying to really get what we want in life, we can always think to ourselves of excuses as to why we're not where we need to be. But when I heard you say that, and I just wanted to emphasize it here as we wrap up, is because, Sean, the very things that people could use as an excuse to prevent them from being successful are actually gifts that actually could propel their success.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's someone else's story. So, you know, I mean, what stories are you allowing to be true in your life? You know, mm-hmm. You get to make those decisions. Do you want to let someone else's story be your truth, or do you want to, you know, what could be true, you know, if there was a different story? You know, those are the things that we get to all decide. And write our own stories, right? So, you know, to all in the arena, you know, go write your own story. You know, don't accept truth from someone else. Go find it for yourself. And there's great mentors out there. There's great leaders. There's great people who will support you on the journey. You just got to keep taking the next step. You got to keep putting yourself stretching your comfort zone a little bit, and then get into those networks and groups and people who are going to support you along the way. When you do that, you are going to tend to grow, and more possibilities going to open up. And then just make sure, you know, as you grow, make sure you're not the smartest person in the room. You got to keep putting yourself to expose to new stimulus that's a bit ahead of where you are now. And that will allow you to continue to see, you know, the shifts that need to happen internally with you and in your business and world around you, and will allow you to keep growing and enjoy the journey for years to come.
I love that. I love that. Such phenomenal insights. Sean, thank you for being with us. Hey, by the way, how close did you ever get to an alligator when you were wakeboarding in those Florida waters?
You know, I've wakeboarded right over them and, you know, tap them on the head and just go by. You know, the alligators you don't have to worry about. It's not like crocs. Crocs you don't go near. Alligators, they're like the cows, you know, of Florida. They just, you know, they just kind of hang out. They're not nothing to worry about with the alligators.
Yeah, I'm not at that point. Haven't spent enough time in the Florida waters to be that comfortable with it. But Sean, love your insight, love what you share. Everyone needs to follow you. I know that you talk a lot about the those skills that they need to have to be successful in the fitness industry, but they translate to every industry. Yeah. That's one of the things that's impressed me the most about you, Sean, is that you get business at a level that very few people do, and you help people communicate that message so that they can be successful. So thanks for spending time with us, Sean. Thank you for sharing your wisdom, and appreciate your friendship, my friend.
Same here, Chad. Thank you.
Take care. Bye now.